complaints. And he says, I'm not talking about ordinary events, but of the events of the collapse of the wall in Eastern Europe, of the Gulf War, 1990-91, what the agency otherwise specifically, so what his friends otherwise specifically aimed at was to oppose this simulation with a radical dissimulation. Now, you should start to hear payday in this, including ION. And our goal is to lift the veil from this non-happening of events. It is also, the agency, so payday also occultized and enigmatized itself in their image, in the image of the non-happening events, in order to open up and clear to the way to a particular void, to a certain nonsense. Unlike the media, which remains relentlessly bent on filling up interstices or gaps. Its aim, his buddy's aim, was to maneuver itself in the void of events like Chang Zhu's butcher. Its aim was to maneuver itself in the void of events like Chang Zhu's butcher proceeds in the interstitial void of the body. I guess he cuts up the body as a butcher. This surreptitious sly intervention by payday in the meaning of the void against grotesque infatuation with information in the political scene, that's what we see all around us, evidently could not amount to, payday, if we were Baudrillard, could not amount to more than a dream. And because of its assumed occult and enigmatic nature, it ended up not taking place like the events themselves. So Baudrillard's team failed because they ended up being a void like reality. It fell into the same black hole, into the same virtual space as the non-events, which it should have addressed. In brackets, secretly, however, and without anyone knowing, it remained operational in the image of these new events, which were either mediatized or not. An apparently insolvable paradox. Then he says, the idea, though, is not dead. And he starts proposing it again.
And so, that's why we have no listeners.
That's why we have no lifters, and we're not about anything. But we have fucking RNA drops, Carol. Baudrillard had no food to give people.
Right.
We have the fucking feed the people, and you will win. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah!
Yeah! Was that it, Alyssa?
Yes.
Alyssa's reading McLuhan's PhD. Well, bounce it off of reading Baudrillard. He's exactly right. Because he was saying this the same time I was on the radio saying, everything's disappeared, what I used to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading his simulacrum. I started it in the springtime, and I took a pause. But, wow, this is so great, what you're reading.
Yeah, no, isn't it interesting? Since there is nothing happening since, I don't know, the 70s, or since Rai returned to Essence, that there was just the Android meme. Replay, after image of events, he knows that. He's saying, we're in a world of non-events happening, and we wanted to counter that, but we had a tough problem of not being a non-event ourselves. And this is a professor writing this stuff. He's a teacher in Paris when he's doing this.
It really gives you an added value and enjoyment to what payday is.
Right, it is. That's what you'll find, that all the sources in the on my tiny note chart enhance ION. They help you appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's rad.
It's rad. And, you know, I'm on here acting exactly what they're saying. you guys got any RNA drops? No, we don't know nothing about it. But we are taking them. That was our first statement.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh, yes.
What are they doing for you, Bob? I have no fucking idea. I don't know. I'm already on ascended. I wouldn't know it. I'm like Baba Ram Dass Guru, took 5 tabs of acid, nothing happened. Well, that's what happened to me with all these products. Nothing happened. I'm already ascended. But I'm still taking them. Matter of fact, I'm leading the charge. I take 100 drops twice a day. Somebody asked me today, are you up to 300 drops a day, Bob? Like, nope, still doing 100 drops as I've done for the last 6 years. 100 drops twice a day. I don't even pay attention to it. I don't even know what it's doing. I'm just trying to get along, be part of a norm, a society of norms. I'm not trying to be a radical innovator.
when one reads Baudrillard, then when Ion says it's not a thinking man's game, it just it makes so much more. I don't want to say it makes sense, but you know, it's like it's a really nice collage to kind of hold those two things together.
Yeah, so Baudrillard, in his next paragraph, he's talking about the strike of events. So he's saying history, events, information, all went on strike, okay? And he says his agency, now remember, we're told to go stealth. So the stealthy agency tried to respond to the strike of events, to the nothing, to the strike of history. Like history, it too subscribed to absent events, looking for a way to furnish the most exact non-information. This is what Ion does. To furnish the most exact non-information on the absence of events. On this ill-limited, I don't know what ill-limited means. I guess it means unlimited. On this ill-limited strike with respect to the occupation of history. Okay, so it tried to provide the most exact non-information on the absence of events. On the ill-limited strike, the unlimited strike with respect to the occupation of history. On the void space over which the phantoms of power still hover, that's Rai. When I first read Baudrillard 25, 30 years ago, he sounded like Dave Worster, even looked like Dave Worster. He was talking about Rai, it had returned to essence. So power was a phantom. So on void space over which the phantoms of power still hover, similar to the empty space of work strikers occupy in a factory, over which the phantom of capital continues to hover. See, everything that anybody attempted the last 34 years never got any worse. And then people just panic more and more in that situation. Nothing. And then they complain, Washington, that they can't get out of their gridlock. Well, it's because it's a phantom gridlock in a phantom situation with no information. Now, Ion's the only guy or thing that can come in and give information within this non-information environment and include the non-information part of it. So Baudrillard says, it is as if the events had adopted the vocabulary of the order of strike. Step by step, everything forsook and defected from its time, reconfiguring itself into a present/current void, no time, where only a visual psychodrama of information was left lingering behind. There's your after image. And this strike of events brings with it the lockout of history. The fact that events no longer generate information. Rather, it is the other way around. What would be the other way around? Information generates events, prompts incalculable consequences. All the negative work disappears on the horizon of the media precisely in the way that labor disappears on the horizon of capital. There, too, relations become inverted. It is no longer labor that serves the reproduction of capital. It is capital that produces and reproduces labor. An enormous parody of the relations of production, which is like Marxist talk. So the point is, a guy like me who could fucking understand this, live it, was the only guy ready for the non-event of fucking the end of everything by Ion. See? I was perfectly qualified.
Yay!
Now you don't that's right. And you guys know about it. That's what we're cheering about. You actually are experiencing this. And so Alex Jones, David Wilcox. Long live the vegetable. Everybody out there doesn't know to read this. They don't know Baudrillard. Only Croker does, and he's stuck up in Victoria, B.C., you know, in a super little classroom. So let me, I always find a way to dominate you fuckers. I always surprise the hell out of you. You didn't know I was going to read this. You don't even know what it's about, and you got to deal with it. So now I'll back off because I'm a fair tyrant and let other people say their non-event, non-information, nonsense, excitement. Now, you guys never heard that.
Baudrillard, Bob.
What?
It brings to mind that today's fake news and alternative facts, you know, the whole thing that's going on today with that.
I was talking to Ion about that today. Alternate facts says, Kellyanne, you know, Trump's female spokeswoman, and she gets tagged, what a stupid person saying alternate facts. If there's nothing important with Ion, then the only important thing we learn from Ion is that there's fucking alternate facts and alternate realities. So here again, the Trump administration is acting out of Bobdom or Ion over Dobtown, and this woman unwittingly said the exact fucking answer I would have said.
see on Charlie Rose, that's explain how this alternate reality, an alternate timeline. And he would go, you mean like something like alternate facts? Right. I mean, they actually, she is correct in what she's saying. But she, I don't think she knows, unless they're really listening to our show, I don't think she knows how to explain it, but that's an example of the Trump administration is an ION administration because they're saying things like alternate facts, which is what ION's always talking about. See, that's uncanny xenocrony. Right? You get it?
Yeah.
So, did any of you guys hear ION predict the Super Bowl game? Did you hear him make a statement on it?
Yeah.
You remember what it was?
He said...
Falcons of Black 3.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
He said Falcons by 3.
No, he said, we did not say Falcons by 3.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
He said, we did not say.
You're right.
Okay.
Motherfucker.
So here's... Okay, so the Super Bowl, somebody was asking me, are you detached, Bob? Are you involved? What are you? And I said, well, I'm both. So here's an example. So I go for my walk after sleeping, you know, through sleeping late because of the payday. So I get up, and I go to the beach, and I'm leaving late, and I said, I wonder what's happening in the Super Bowl. I had ION's projection. So we looked at it. Karen and I looked at it. It was 28-9 for the Falcons.
Yep.
And I said, well, if we take that it's three, by 3 points, I may be wrong. Because sometimes you can take his statement, we did not say it, means that they did say it. But who knows with ION? He's a fucking fool.
Exactly.
He's a non-event with non-information. But you have to think about it because you heard it. So I like the way Alyssa gets it.
I put it all out there on the Falcons, too.
What'd you say? Jack?
I fucking bet it all on the Falcons. I bet.
You did?
That was my bet.
He did.
Did you misinterpret ION?
Yeah, I mean, I heard him say, we did not say, but you know, a lot of times he's like...
Yeah, he means
said
it.
Said stuff different. Yeah, so I took it like, oh, he's trying to trick people, and then I'm going to go
Jack fell for it. Well, you don't have to... I'll tell you who to blame in a minute. But I like the way Alyssa, with her modern consciousness, she gets it, right, Alyssa? You're laughing. Oh, wow, that's fucking great. I get what Bob's saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it's had a lot to do with, like, you know, JW and everybody being from, like, Atlanta and, like, all that shit. And I was like,
yeah.
You said something about the 33rd parallel and all this shit. I was like, oh, that's my number, too. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. It's definitely going to be the problem.
Definitely going to be it.
I know.
Okay. So I start walking to the beach. And I walk by the new hotel, the Andes Hotel, with all the young yuppie kids who got jobs there. It's a young place. And I hear a big cheer. So I say, oh, that's just over at the bar around the corner. I said, well, I got to get to the beach. The sun's going down. Can't be in there when the sun's down. The sharks will get you. So I'm torn. I said, oh, I'll just zip over and see what's going on, see what it looks like. So I have no interest in the game, know nothing about it. So I go over and find a little bar. And there's a bunch of people sort of cheering that. And I found out that they were all a Falcons team of people. They're all Falcon fans. And at one point, I heard one guy say to the other guy, leave! Leave! And I said, what's wrong there? And it turned out he was a patriot. And this little tribal fucking, you know, young people, hive mind Nazis, they wouldn't allow the guy who liked the Patriots to be in their little booth. They told him, get the fuck out of here. So I show up, and it is all of a sudden 29-20.
And then he's probably tripping out like, you motherfucker came over here bringing bad luck.
Listen, yeah, 28-20. It was 28, did I say 29? I meant 28-3. No, 28-9 when I left. 10 minutes later, it's 28-20. And I look at the clock, and it's 57 seconds left. And so this young woman was beside me, and she starts to get all agitated. She says, I hate this. I don't know why I care. I just can't stand it. I'm a Falcons person, but I know they're going to fucking blow it. And so I let her ran on for a while, and then I said, no, the Falcons are going to win by 3. And she looks at me and says, how do you know? And I said, I got good sources. And she looks at me totally dumbfounded. I got good sources. And I realized that was too much, so I said, a psychic told me. Really? It's like I told you, yeah. So calm down. They're going to win. The Falcons are going to win by three. So right at the moment I said it, I said, uh-oh, I fucking intervened. All hell's going to break loose. So anyways, I ignored my thinking.
Oh, so it's your fault.
I caused it. You will see in a minute what happened.
Jack.
And so I stood there, and she was saying to a couple of friends, no, don't worry. They're all getting worried because Brady was getting real close. And they said, you can't trust that Brady. He's going to fucking score. And they're really getting nervous. They already got up to 20. And then so she said, don't worry. The Falcons are going by three. And nobody knew to ask her, how do you fucking know? They just were all, oh, good. They didn't even know why she was saying it. And so I'm watching this. I'm in the back of it. And then I see a shot of Brady. They showed him in the bunker, and he looked really mean or pissed off or upset, and I just saw him. I never knew much about him. I didn't know anything about him. So there was this guy. I said, in retrospect, oh, okay, I got a bead on him. So then they go in, and they make an attempt, and they fail to get across the line, and then they do. With, like, 20 seconds left, they fucking get across. So they get 6 points, and I'm going, oh, it's 28-26. I said, geez, I said to the girl, they just need to make kick a long one. Get 1 point. It'll be 29-26, and it'll be the three-point thing. And I said, look, they're going to do it. But I didn't realize that they got two fucking points doing a runaround or something. And
yeah,
all of a sudden, look at it, goes, fuck it. With like 3 seconds left, it's 28-28. I go, well, how the fuck did that happen? 28-28, because I didn't notice that they didn't kick the field goal thing, and they just ran around and got 2 points instead of one. So I said, oh, everything's all fucked up now. And so meanwhile, this 57 seconds took 15 minutes. They had commercials. I was fucking getting screwed, man. I had to get to the beach. So I wasn't going to watch the overtime. So I said, fuck it, I'm out of here. And I start walking, and within 5 minutes, I hear a big cheer at one of the other hotels. I said, wonder if something happened. But I don't pay any attention. Get to the beach. Swim for 45 minutes. Get the fuck out before the sun's gone down. Good sign, though, was as the sun went down, I'm still in the water, it did the green flash. And it even was a blue flash, the famous blue flash, green flash on the horizon. So I said, oh, that's a good omen. Probably the fucking Falcons pulled it off. So I get out, and I walk back, and I have opportunity to ask anybody all along. But I said, no, I'll wait for the right person. And wait for the right timing. So it turned out to be the last guy before I went up the hill. Over the golf course. So I said, hey, you know who won? And he says, New England. And I go, who the fuck's New England? Because I don't know.
You didn't even know the team? Oh,
I didn't even know the fucking team. and for some reason, I thought they were like Dallas or something. Dallas Patriots, even though I know about the Dallas Cowboys. I just did not think they were a northern team. So he goes, New England. And he sees the confusion on my face. He goes, New England Patriots. Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know their name. And then I realized, what? They won? How'd they do that? And he said they got a touchdown. And then I said, so it was, they got 6 points? Yeah. 6 point lead? Right, yeah. So I told him, I then said, what time of the game did that happen? The overtime. He said, early. Yeah, that's what I heard. I was walking along very shortly after leaving the thing, and I heard a big cheer, and I wondered, uh-oh. It happened that quickly, and that ended it. So I said, what did I say to him? I said, he volunteered. He said, at the five-minute mark, Brady was on the move. He said, I knew Brady was going to pull it off, he said. I could tell. You get that fucker going, and he gets going, and you got 3-4 minutes left. He'll do it. So he was very understanding what Brady could do. So I walked away thinking, holy shit, now I got to fuck. Everybody's going to think that Ian, Jack's view, that Ian was saying 3 points.
Yeah.
You know, three. I said, okay, I got to fucking deal with the legends of the world, the cynics. Ian fucked up, blah, 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 blah. And then I started to realize, wait a minute, I fucked it up. I suddenly realized. Because Ian says Bob can't want anything. If Bob wants something, he says, I don't want it, no fucking way in my life, and then I get it. You know about that, right? That's what Ian says about me? Mm. I get things by denying that I... What?
Yeah,
you know now. Okay,
I definitely know now. I have to lose my money. You didn't even know
listen
things,
to this,
Bob.
Man.
I can't believe that shit.
Yeah, now listen, calm down, you fucking neurotic cum person. Listen, we'll let you have your tantrum in a minute. I want you to realize, I had an incredible day on that day. I was walking home saying, holy fuck, I lived my altering of reality. Because what I did is I got involved and had a desire for the prediction to happen. I wanted something. And that means it's not going to happen. And I said, I fucking fucked this thing up. I really knew it. I did it. And so I had a very strong percept, religious experience, that I actually could see I altered reality. Because Ian's always saying I'm altering reality, and I don't even know about it. But I did it. I did it on the chemical body, human scale, and I ruined that young woman's life. Because she's going to realize that fucking psychic was wrong, and she'll never like a psychic again. She'll never believe it. She'll become a materialist cynic, and she'll miss her fucking salvation. I killed that woman. You know what I mean? In a normal response to this. She's going to be very disillusioned because I had her believe in it. But I had a great day. I realized I fucked it up. I actually did it because I got involved. And so I then discussed, I brought this up with Ion today, and he said, yep, you caused it, Bob. He valid. I went through all this. I told him how this layout without asking his opinion. And then I said, so what do you make of it? What do you make of this? I don't think I even said I fucked it up. Or if I did, I just said it. He goes, well, that's right. You caused it, Bob. You did it. So that was my religious experience the other day. I actually felt I knew I'd done it.
Hey, Bob. I thought something similar, and I told Jack because Jack bet on the game, and then I realized that I think, Jack, you told somebody, right? And I said, no, don't tell. In my head right away, I was like, no, you're not supposed to tell anyone. Keep it to yourself. Hold it.
Yeah.
To hold it in. And then said it would, he would have, they would have actually won. So I felt something like you did. I felt like the moment that we said Ion told us that they were going to win.
But I never said Ion. I just said the Falcons by three. Maybe you thought I said that. You changed it. I don't know.
That's all I said. You don't say Ion. You said you wanted it. You said something.
Yeah.
You don't fucking say it. Don't get involved. You forgot it's a non-event.
That's true. I didn't even,
And look, I took on sympathy for that girl, tried to help her, and I fucking ruined her life.
Yeah, Bob. Just killed another person, Bob.
Another terrorist act that never got noticed. Bob, a sniper was seen ruining people's lives in the Andes Hotel. We don't know who he was. But people said, I've seen that guy before. That fucking guy killed a few other people 2 weeks ago over some surfing competition. I saw him do it.
You sneaked into the bar for a quick assassination, Bob.
Yeah, I did. And that's what it is. I was standing there when I first got there, and this 6'10" guy comes along, and he puts his arm around my shoulder, and I look at him, and I go, what? I don't know why this guy's putting his arm around me. And I realize, oh, I'm standing in his spot, right? It's quite crowded. So I backed off, and he walked right in front of me and stood right in front of me. He didn't give a fuck that I couldn't see anything anymore. But he started off putting, it's like he was a giant, saying, he put his arm around me and said, now, you can be nice about this, but I'm going to piss you off. I'm smiling at you, so you're going to have to accept it. And I didn't even know that. But then when he stood in front of me, I realized what he was doing. This 6'10" guy put his arm around me and smiled at me. And I went, what? Like, what the fuck are you doing smiling at me? We haven't been properly introduced, buddy. What are you doing? But I found out what his motive was. So I managed to shift around and get out of that. But it would be great if he heard this, that he actually put his arm around a fucking new kind of non-event terrorist doing a non-terrorist, non-event, non-information disaster.
Did you have on the sandals? The socks?
Did I have on sandals?
You're
asking if I had on sandals?
Yeah, your sandals and socks that Jack knows that
Oh, yeah, that's all I wear to the beach. They're not sandals. They're more shoes. They're more solid than sandals, right, Carol? They're more solid than sandals.
I think people know you're different when they see
like
you
sports
with sandals on. Like, this guy's
sandals.
Different.
What?
I think when people see you with the sandals and socks on, they know you're different.
Is that right? Doesn't look cool, does it?
No, not that it doesn't look cool. They just If you pull that shit off, you got to be a different person, and you do it well. It's not a bad thing.
Good. Yeah, well, what's the sandals? Are they odd-looking, Carol? I guess they are. I don't know.
With socks, yeah, when you wear sandals with socks.
Oh, you're not supposed to have socks on. Oh, okay. But I'm making sure because I got to wear them back when they're wet, and that'll chafe your feet. So it's very practical wearing the socks.
That's true. If you like it, that's all that matters.
Yes, that's all that matters, up to a point. Though I'm not an asshole trying to ascend. I'm already ascended, so I don't mind fucking things up. I'm not here to be happy. I used to say that. You can go look at old Jerry Fialka things, interviews with me, where I claim I contradict myself. I claim I never felt any pain, ever. Didn't know what it was like. But there are other ones where I talk about myself being a great sacrificial martyr, here to help everybody. I'm putting on the pain. Right, Carol? Didn't I say something like that? Am I making this up? Another non-thought from a non-person?
Yeah, it's like a yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, yes, no, maybe. That's my answer. Here at the Stealthy Agency. Stealth Agency. But look at what Bo Jerry was saying. And I went and saw him speak. I met the guy. And in the course of this, he gave a little talk, and he said, he was very inspired by the pata physicians. That's Alfred Jarry, J-A-R-R-Y. He invented a physics based on absurdity around 1890s, and he became famous in the French avant-garde. Walter Bort, in his first issue of The Each Village Other in 1965, had a pata physic headline. So Bojar was saying that he was inspired by pata physics when he was a teenager, and he never really left that. He never stopped talking about the void. He just became a sociology professor and was able to put academic language over it. But then he gave up on that in the 80s and just started being honest and say he went back to void talk, which I just read you, this early essay. He talked about the void. And this guy, look at what he wrote. How the hell can one accept that in academia? Okay, we're in a non-information world with non-events about something, and you try to counter it, you'll become a non-event. That's pretty avant-garde, surrealistic talk. For a professor.
He is.
And he became famous for it. And of course, he's doing McLuhan without naming the technical grounds. He stays within the concept effect. So that was the difference. He redid McLuhan without talking about the medium.
Did he use McLuhan then?
Oh, yeah. McLuhan was his... There's the famous radical countercultural group called the Situationists in Paris. Their leader was Guy Debord, who wrote The Society of Spectacle in 1967, which became they teach it in college now, in cultural studies and stuff. So the Situationists were these radicals who did a lot of strange posters and graffiti during the May 68 strike in Paris that almost toppled De Gaulle. It's a famous thing. A famous city thing. Well, Bojar was the secretary of that group. But around that time, I have to check the date, his first thing he wrote was a review of McLuhan's writings. That's the first thing he did. So he was a student of McLuhan from the beginning. And nobody knew it at first because they were all leftists, his audience, leftists and anarchists. They didn't know about McLuhan. It wasn't until the 90s that when McLuhan revival, they started to notice, oh, wait a minute, this guy... sounds like McLuhan. Do you know about McLuhan? Yes, McLuhan's very important. And he talked a lot about McLuhan. But nobody knew for decades, except for Arthur Croker, maybe, who wrote a book on McLuhan so he could see it. Anyways, it's a very interesting history, one another obscure little almost cult phenomenon that I'm an expert on. I'm an expert on all cults. Matter of fact, there's a community magazine here in this richest, best community in the world called Wailea, and they feature some local person on it every issue. And so there's this black jazz musician, woman, acrobat, blah, 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 everything. She's a PhD in engineering. She's a cabaret playwright, can do everything. So we've never seen her. We don't know anything about her. But she was on the cover, so I looked at it. And she was a member of the Osho cult. You know Rajneesh in the 80s? You guys might have heard of that name.
Free sex.
He changed his name to Oh yeah, Char was probably a member of it at some point in her pilgrimage through the alternative world. But he changed his name to Osho, O-S-H-O. Now he's notorious for they took over a town in Oregon in the 80s, and they would have orgies 24/7 all the time. So if you were part of the cult, you got laid a lot, apparently. And then he started fucking everybody, and then he became a scandal. And then the town kicked him out, and then he was deported, and he died in the early 90s. But so I'm asking Ion about this woman, and I get Ion to tell me all about her, this and that, what she had in her illness. And then I said, she was in the Osho cult. Did she participate in many orgies? Oh, yes, Bob, she participated in many orgies. So I know about this person privately through Ion, my neighbor. Found out about my neighbor through Ion.
That is funny.
I hope she's not listening.
See, that's the thing. I said, is she had a disease, and so I said, okay, she doesn't know about the RNA drops, didn't know about that, I assume. No, she didn't. And she's living right near us, and she doesn't know about us. She's rather not tuned into us. And I said, yeah, she's disconnected. She doesn't know about you. So, yes, whatever you said, Cha, what I'm responding to. What did you say? Yeah,
oh, she did she know?
She didn't know.
She doesn't know. She isn't listening.
Right. That's the point. Yeah, so she ain't fucking listening, and that's why I'm telling this.
Mm.
I'd like her to listen and say, who is this guy? So who is this guy that they were saying this? I'd like people searching me out. That'd be fun.
Mm.
When I first went to Venice Beach with Jerry Fialka when we first moved to the States in 93, we went to some young author, Terrence McKenna something, some local countercultural postmodern thing. And after we got talking to this guy, me and Jerry, and Jerry says to him, you're a member of the Subgenius people, aren't you? Oh, yeah. And then I go, have you ever heard of Bob Marshall? Which is the name of the guy that I did on the with Ed Poussard. His name was Bob Marshall. He's the one that Stang first complained about. He goes, oh, yeah, I know about Bob Marshall. He's a Canadian guy, yeah. And Stang took him to court, and he's in jail now. I go, yep, he's in jail right now. So he didn't know he was talking to Bob Marshall. So I did that a lot. I'd go around and find out what people thought of me. And they didn't know that they were talking to me. So if she comes around, I'll be pretty good at. She'll say, "Are you Bob Dobbs?" I said, "No." Well, how come you look like him? I didn't know I did. What's he look like? And then she'll say, "Look," and I said, "That's a person. Bob Dobbs is the guy with the pipe. He's a fucking clip art icon." Not that didn't look like a person. No, it's you. People have told me you're you. Well, I got you got the wrong guy. And then I'd see if I pulled it off, and I'd walk away and see if she started to beat me up. Yeah, that part we don't know. How much would she accept my lie, right?
Yeah, she's probably a martial artist as well as everything else.
I think she is, yeah. And so she'd probably be stunned the first time. Then she'd go back, check it out even more. Realize that is the guy, and some friends say, yeah, he just talked about you on his show and talked about what happened. I said, I better find that guy, but he won't be able to find me because I don't show up at any events around here.
She shouldn't have let herself be publicized in the local paper.
That's right, yeah. Now, should I play some Ion? What do you think?
Yay.
Yay!
Yes.
I can only carry about a 90-minute show. I can't make the full 2 hours. I must supplement it with Ion, right?
Yeah.
I've got to enjoy your 2 hours.
Maybe because this is my first time on the show. Maybe they've heard it.
Oh, very good. Well, welcome aboard, Jack.
Good.
But you were drafted. You were like basically FEMA cramped a year. I told you no more fucking acting stylish behaviors.
I know you weren't playing that shit. No more questions unless you fucking attend the show. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
See, but it isn't that bad, Jack. It's that sort of fun.
No, it's
it?
Not. I could ask. You know. Cool.
He just said it's really cool.
Come on.
Are you still at the office?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You have to be, eh?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have to be. I'm just here just around these hours, the hours that we kind of like create new ideas and shit like that. When I start smoking weed, start creating new concepts.
I start hallucinating.
That's what this hour is. Yeah, after around 7, 8, around 9, 30, 10, we smoke some weed and we start creating.
See, it's a different world when people could do that. Like, imagine Trump. Yeah, we get going in the evening. I start smoking weed, shooting up some coke, and they would really.
Bob, remember when your lawyer friend.
Truth, Bob.
Right, yeah.
Bob, remember when your lawyer friend was saying that. One time when some...
You mean Jim?
Yeah. When some alternate people came and had a Senate meeting, and they had like 1% of new ideas for the Senate, and it exploded the senators' heads.
Well, Jim and his buddies took their transpartisan magazine ideas to congressmen.
Uh-huh.
And the congressman could not take the watered-down avant-garde ideas that Jim had.
Mm-hmm.
So your point, yeah, they couldn't take it.
Well, there was that magazine, but didn't he say a couple of alternative energy people sat with some senators, and they couldn't take it either? Like, nothing will ever change in Washington because there's too many rusty old men involved.
Right. So what's that got to do with me lying to my neighbor?
Everything.
No. Well, what were we? It wasn't really that. What were we just talking about that made you say that? So playing ion.
Trump smoking weed.
Oh.
Trump smoking weed. So you can imagine if you tell the senators, "Well, smoke some weed and you'll get some new ideas." Yeah, that was
it. Bob, do you smoke weed?
Bob ain't going up.
Who's saying that?
Rob, Jack's asking, do you smoke weed?
No, I don't do anything. I don't do drugs or anything. Oh. No.
Okay.
Let me see. The last time I had marijuana was about 50 years ago.
50 or 15?
A long time ago.
50 in the mid-60s.
Yeah, you're missing out, man.
Oh, yeah? Did you fucking make ion? Listen, I am the greatest fucking human ever lived.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Here we go. Go ahead. Go. Go.
I made a fucking meme or an ion thing that's got the whole world hallucinating. All right? Way bigger than Tim Leary or anybody else. I'm the biggest fucking dope pusher ever.
But who said you can't push more?
What? I can push more.
Who says it can't be more? When I come, when we see you again, we're going to smoke again. We're going to have smoke.
Right. We're going to have a mass die-off. I'm killing most of you fucking stoners, right? So, you know, it's over. It's over, man.
I am
the biggest mass murderer. I'm the biggest of every human, biggest prostitute, the biggest lawyer, the biggest scientist. I'm the biggest of every fucking human attempt at ascension. Because I brought forth the completion of it all with ion. Think of that. Think of that. You none of you people. Who was I saying this to the other day, Carol? I was explaining myself to somebody on the phone.
It's probably to me. Every once in a while, you have to remind me.
No, who was I talking to on the phone the other day? Oh yeah, I had to remind Carol. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I am somebody. Get it to your fucking head. I am somebody.
And yeah, it's usually after my radio show when Bob's ratings go down.
Yes. Who was I talking to yesterday, Carol? Wasn't I talking to a woman yesterday explaining something? I was on the phone all night with them. Daphne.
Yeah.
Daphne. I was explaining all this to Daphne. You've heard Daphne. She's been on a couple of times. She used to be a Carol secretary. So she was out of touch for many years. And now she's totally into ion, and she's realizing, she's going to, holy shit, Bob, this is absolutely amazing. So if she starts saying something like that, I then complete it. So all that I was just bragging about, I was telling her last night. And she believed it. She says, you're right, Bob. You are the greatest artist ever lived, the greatest scientist, the greatest everything. Because she realized how awesome ion was.
So, speaking of mass die-off, in Minneapolis, FEMA keeps putting up all these billboards that say, don't wait to communicate. Get a plan. And it shows, like, a speed limit sign poking out of a lot of water, like a flood.
Creepy.
What poking out?
A speed limit
sign. A speed sign out of water, like a flood.
Yeah. Yep.
So what's that mean? The Mississippi's going to go backwards or something?
I don't know. I mean, like, there's just all these, and there's, like, these just new FEMA billboards popping up a lot lately around.
I've never seen them have a billboard. They actually make themselves public?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, some of them have tornadoes on them. Some of them have some other sort of natural disaster stuff, but... It's definitely increased in the last, like, couple months. I've seen them popping up around Minneapolis.
Okay. All right. I got a great section on quarks here, and it resonates with what we've been talking about. You'll see. This is really good. And this was done on Saturday, February 4th, before payday. So let me just mute you guys and set this up. We're running along here. Mute all.
All participants are now muted.
Down flower. I think that's it. That's all I need. Let's see if it starts.
Hey, January 2728, Bert said, are there more than six forms of quarks? And Ion said, there's more. And then Ion whispered, there's more. There's more. So, how many more are there, Ion?
That number hasn't even been determined yet, is how many more there are. See, because you got to understand, get what a quark is. Quark is?
I knew it.
Get that. But the reason it's important is because when you figure that a little bit, then you have to know that it's a slide, meaning... It's things, there is no, you have to be able to embrace the construct that there is no time. Okay? Because when there's no time, then the quark won't matter no more. Quark won't matter no more.
Well, as far as I know, the quark is just a, like an up, down, in, out, back, forth type thing, which implies time, a time definition. But.
Basically. Yes.
Right.
Basically.
But if you're saying the number hasn't even been determined, but then you say in the next breath that they're all going to be gone, then we shouldn't even need to bother about them. Is that correct?
Well. It's a little more than that. It's a little bit more than that. And what a little bit more is, is the quarks will be used to gauge your position of no time. That's how you'll know that there's no time. And so there's going to be, if the number is too great, the number is huge, it's voluminous, because they're still becoming, because they are. So we can give the number, but if they don't attach or connect to you, then they're not yet. So it would be wrong or inappropriate, or what they call it, other kind of facts, they're different kind of facts. What they call them, the truth is one thing, and then there's other kinds of truth. No, they don't call them lies.
A lie is a truth that hasn't happened yet.
No. Kellyanne calls them aggregated truth, or another form of truth. It's another form of truth that you don't know about that truth yet. It's another form of truth that she got great famous that she called it something else. It was great fun.
So I'll just put this business about quarks aside. And so it's required to look at time.
It's going to be used to verify or validate that there is a time on earth is no more.
See,
that's the whole rub, because even in the Bible it says soon, in the beginning of Revelation it says that soon, now that gives time right there, soon there'll be a time on earth when time shall be no more. So you see the quandary there really, really quickly after about 1 second. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, well, wait a second. Mm-hmm. There's already no time. Why is there going to be time? How will we have time to know that there was time to be no more time? Time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of trite, but even so.
Yeah.
Well, wait. Okay. So the quark is a timed world particle as they have it now.
No. It's not a timed world particle. It is the what you're going to use to prove soon that there is no time. Because they already don't understand what they are. Because they can go before or after or above or everything else the rabbit can do to a stump thing already. They're already aberrations now.
Yeah, you said so they couldn't understand. They could not understand what they are.
Correct.
And when they accept there's no time, they'll say, oh, that's why the quark adds... acts oddly.
That's what the quark is the representation of placeholders. Placeholders, that's a good word, placeholders. You like that word.
Like time and space is a placeholder. A castle is a placeholder. Are they quarks?
Maybe. No, no. No, but there'll be representations, metaphors. Alan loves those metaphors.
Right, so they will, once they transition to no time using the quark, they won't use the quark anymore?
Correct. It won't be necessary.
So it's the last barrier, the last placeholder.
Step. Step. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carol?
That's a good way to say
it. Does that help, Carol? Did I clarify it?
She said, yes, it was clear as mud, Bob. Thanks for calling. Clear as mud.
Okay, go ahead, Carol.
I'm trying to find something that I don't have to research.
Okay, I got a question.
Okay.
Roxana noticed in the White House when Trump signs his bills, it was Roxana or somebody, there's the Statue of Liberty head with rays behind him in the White House. Is that always there, or did he put it there?
He put it there.
Right. And what does he mean by it?
New York.
No. La Boulay.
He likes La Boulay, knows about him?
No, he knows that it's a pattern of remembrance. Pattern of remembrance. Because he knows that, you notice he's divesting himself, he is going to be able to know that the Statue of Liberty is going to be the only thing that has, that's, so it's not Ellis Island, by the way, it's next to Ellis Island.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be the only thing visible.
Right, because the big toe will be covered with water, remember?
Right. Mm-hmm. So he knows that because he listened to us, or what's he relying on?
He knows it.
How'd he get to know it?
Somebody told him.
Yeah, you know what, Carol? 53rd Street was the limit of the flood. So he knew that, so he wanted his building on the 53rd Street. Correct, Ion?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and he's known that for years.
He's absolutely known it. He has. And if you notice his holding, he is tracked it on the other side, to the safe side of the Mississippi. Because while some people are trying to figure out our words and what we say, other people are busy making positions so they can have good business because of it.
After. Right, and so he's done something on the west coast side of the Mississippi?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, built something, whatever.
No, just made options, took options on positions.
Right. Why did he believe the source? What source did he have?
Somebody told him. Everything else has been true.
That the person who told him?
Yeah. Well, and it's from us, but they knew it. He knew it. He knows.
He knew it from before. Did he get it from an oracle, a psychic?
From us. Somebody, an advisor, listens to us.
Well, the water thing, that would have been 2009, 2010. And the battle over 53rd was since then. So someone told him way back then?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
beautifully. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it's beautiful. Because what it does is shifts the responsibility so you can now know that the information source is pure. So that's what he's trying to work out. If he can get that worked out, where he's being like Flynn.
were in Lake Flynn?
Both.
Right, but he's trying to find out whether Ryan's telling the truth or not. How will he find that out?
Well, so far everything has been the case. Everything's been the case, true. So he's going with it.
So this advisor said, as was listening to us, told Trump, but Melania didn't know about RNA drops. That's found by Ivanka through other means. Nothing to do with the guy who knew about the building and what Ryan had said about the flood.
That is correct. That is correct. Because you can't mix it. Because if somebody falls out of favor, we can't stop the flow of connection. Somebody falls out of favor, you can't stop the flow of connection.
The connection of other people to the guy who fell out of favor?
Our access. We can't forfeit our access.
Oh, if someone falls out of favor with you, you're still connected to them.
Correct. We have other ways.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So has Trump put together that his friend told him to, 53rd Street 7 years ago or something? Does he now realize that's the thing that brought the drops?
No. He hasn't connected that yet. That's okay.
Does Ivanka know it? No.
No.
Yeah. They haven't connected in their own knowing.
They're in the bliss of it all at this point, Bob, you see. I mean, it's pretty heavy duty.
The bliss of what they're doing in the White House, you mean, as president?
Yeah. Yes.
And the bliss of the drops?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Carolyn. Okay, I have another Trump thing. There's this fact-checker site.
They're called alternate truths, Bob. They're alternate truths.
Well, this person says Trump said this, and then they prove that it's wrong. Like the New York Times, their subscription is going up. But the problem is the fact-checker believes the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
That's why Kellyanne called that alternate facts.
Oh, the fact-checker. So the basic thing is Trump's always going to win. No matter what they say he killed somebody, they'll prove he killed it, and he'll still fucking win, right? That's what you're telling us.
That's right.
So ignore it.
And that's sort of what we said. That's what we said all along, actually.
Yes,
if
that's
you recall.
Right. No, I remember that. And so the point is that ignore all the news about Trump and enjoy his putting them down, because he's always going to be a winner.
And that's why it's so hysterical, because it's funny if you really look at it, because it's kind of hysterical, because the very mainstream is no longer the stream of Maine. mainstream is no longer the stream of Maine.
Yeah, some of the bloggers, they have different words. The Wayne stream, they put down phrases, versions of mainstream. The waning stream, things like that.
Yeah.
So, Jack.
Hey, so, unmute here.
All participants are now unmuted.
That was good.
Non-information about non-events. That still is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We actually retrieve information. We become information post-Baudrillard. We're in the new environment. We actually have alternate facts. All right. No other comment? You're all unmuted. What do you think of that, Eliza? You're the only one to comment. Not one person is commenting.
Hi, Bob.
Yes.
I liked what he said about the information source being pure.
Yeah.
I've been looking into stuff with the angel talk, which was very interesting. Because what Ian said about Queen Elizabeth, about the Queen Mother, that she was sort of. She had mystical knowledge or whatever.
Hey, listen, since no one's talking, let's talk about that after the show ends. I want to play one more interesting, actually gets into Baudrillard. Interesting stuff. I can get 3 minutes in, I think. Okay, so hold that. We'll talk about it after.
Okay.
Let me get this next part. 40, 55. 40, 46, okay. Mute everybody. Mute all.
All participants are now muted.
Okay,
40, 55. This is pretty good. Just like the quark thing was good. And we heard about the quarks in a way no one's ever heard before. The way I talked about it. Okay, here we go. So you would like
Ion, you said at one point, the 21st century is when everything changes. We will go into that fully. So I guess there's not much to say there, except that's why Bob keeps plaguing you, asking you about, now what's happening, Ion? Now what? So is there anything to tell us today in answer to that question?
Good question.
You've now shifted. You're now starting to shift the mystery figure ground, which is what Bob said a little bit ago. And we've, he's been saying it since itch. But now, maybe for the very first time, it's actually starting to sort of apply.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The mystery landscape becomes bigger.
And it becomes, and so then alternate facts become true reality.
Mm-hmm. And now, is that what the postmodernists were trying to vaguely allude to?
Yes.
Well, name a few people. Derrida, was he doing
no.
that? Was Baudrillard doing that?
Trying to.
Was Lyotard doing that?
Mostly.
Was Roland Barthes trying to do that?
No.
So Lyotard, he's an art critic, Carolyn. He's an interesting guy.
So a bit of Baudrillard and Lyotard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's Deleuze and Guattari, psychiatrist guys. They're very popular.
Nah, they're lost. They're socialists. The socialists.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the socialists.
Right, so they miss that.
The socialists say they miss that, so they're trying to fit it into a socialist realm, which it never fits, you see.
Yeah, they're trying to fit McLuhanism back into... Now, did McLuhan get it, the way we're talking about here?
No, he did not.
Did James Joyce get it? No, he did not, right?
The reference. He got the reference.
Lewis got the closest.
Did
T.S. Eliot get the closest?
The 50-50. You throw them both in a sack, you couldn't tell the difference.
Lewis and Eliot. Okay, they remained friends all their life.
Okay, fine, Bob.
So not many postmodernists, Ian, that are known.
No.
Are
Well, there aren't many postmodernists, period.
And it's like vegetarians. They think they're everywhere, but they're not.
Yeah.
Okay. July 6, 2009, you mentioned something about magnetic lava. And the question is, is this why Maui is special?
Yes.
And does it relate to pressures and pulses, this magneticness?
Most certainly.
And
has Maui always been special, or it became special in the...
It became special? Yep.
When?
Before we got
after
here?
You all, after you got there.
So that's why Paley got upset?
Yes, hell yes. That's why your little friend had to
stop it there. Yes, Paley, Ion told us back in 2010 that Paley, who's the goddess who runs this Hawaiian stuff, was getting pissed off at the occupants, the tourism or something. But now we find out it was because we showed up, altering even the deepest levels of archetypal bullshit. Just like we're shaking up the 418 group. So that was awesome stuff I just played you. Let me unmute you so I can...
All participants are now unmuted.
...of what you just heard.
That was good, Bob. Great.
That was good, right?
We'll talk about it
after the music. Do not leave. Show's just beginning. The unrecorded part.